vectorial group field theory. Tobin?
Okay, thank you. Good morning or good afternoon, depending on your country. Today I would like to talk about renormalization of tensorial group field theories. This is work done in collaboration with Daniele Odetti and Vincent Rivasso. So you probably, most of you probably already know what group field theories are and probably wondering why we added the term tensorial. And this is mainly because we are exploring some models where we changed a bit the combinatorics of the usual spin form and group field theory models. And these models rely a lot on recently unraveled analytical techniques from tensor models. So please go to slide number 2, where I give some motivations for this work. So these tensorial group field theories can be seen as coming from two directions, either first the tensor models, which are tentative generalizations of matrix models, which were quite successful in describing random geometries in two dimensions. So it was very natural in the 90s to generalize them to higher dimensional tensors and geometries. However, the progress was very slow in this direction, mainly due to a lack of analytical control on the on these models. In particular, the 1/n extension that was so crucial to matrix models was missing and was only discovered recently, mainly by Aswan Gao. And this gave tools just like universality probability theorems, very similar to the central limit theorem, that gave opened the possibility to construct full-fledged field theories out of these tensor models. The second route is by spin forms and their group field theory formulation. There, it's not necessary, but most of the time you start by trying to quantize simplicial geometries and recover the continuum from some approximations. One of the issues is that contrary to state sum models, usually the triangulation independence is not ensured, and so you need some refining procedures such as the lattice gauge theory limit explored by Critch and Packers, or you need to sum all the possible combinatorial sets that are available in the model. So the prescriptions, prescription for the second of these possibilities and how is just by interpreting the usual spin form models as Feynman amplitudes of a quantum field theory of a particular kind that I will describe. The main issue here, as in any quantum field theory, is that amplitudes are generically divergent. So you might wonder whether renormalization technique could play a role here. And from general expectations, we want in the end to relate these discrete models to continuum approximations that we experience in everyday life. And as such, we can expect the relevant vectors of the models to be described by many degrees of freedom, and renormalization techniques could here again play an important role. So the long-term question we would like to answer in an tensorial group field theories is whether we can construct renormalizable models, that is, quantum field theories that really make sense, that can be defined, and whether in this framework, by studying the flows of these models, whether we can find some, for example, a phase transition from a discrete phase to a continuum phase, and if it's if in this phase we can recover physics which look like physics of GR. So please go to slide 3.
Can I ask a question on slide 2 already? I mean, you mentioned sort of in the middle of the slide that the idea of group field theory would be to perform the sum, right? Instead of taking kind of a gauge theory kind of limit. But in the last point, you are again talking about continuum limit. So if you perform a sum, why do you have to take a continuum limit?
What I mean by, so the sum is really to make the amplitude independent on the bulk. What form you use to interpolate between two states of geometries. That in the end we want to describe discrete geometry. So even on the boundary, you should plug a more continuous state. This is what I mean by that. And so you would like to describe states with many degrees of freedom on the boundary.
Right, but so this is not the same as the sum of spin forms then.
What do you mean?
I thought that some of our spin forms was precisely the kind of things that people in Marseille were doing, right? Namely that really summing over all possibles are at least proposing to do, summing over all possible spin forms. Then there's no, I mean, just like in the loop quantum gravity, right, where one just takes this projective limit, it's like looking at, I mean, the theory is already in a continuum. One is just taking a projective limit of the whole thing. So this is not what you want to do. You want to really take a continuum limit forward. I'm trying to understand your viewpoint.
So you want to do both. We want first to define the model appropriately, so that we have an ambiguous amplitude between discrete geometry states. So
this is for a given simplicial, decomposition or given too complex between the final and the initial and the final state, and then you are summing over J's. Is that what you mean by sum? Or by sum you mean you're also summing over all skeletons?
We are summing on all skeletons. So we want to fix some boundary geometry and then define the amplitudes as a sum over all the possible spin form interpolation between the two boundaries. With some
So your viewpoint is that fundamentally there is no continuum, that there is no discrete structure, even in the boundary states?
I don't have any strong things to say about this, but probably...
You take a continuum limit, that's what you meant saying, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, whether you interpret the discrete structures as fundamental or not, I think that... In the end, you need to define some approximately continuous geometry. So this is what I mean by continuum limit. So whether you think of the lattices, the discrete structures as approximations or fundamental, you need such kind of limits, in my view.
Okay. So you would be happy if, in fact, there is a fundamentally discrete structure, but the states are such that and continuum is actually an approximation. So you don't fundamentally want to take the continuum limit, but you want to recover continuum limit as just an effective field theory. Is that, you would be happy with that or would not be happy with that?
Very much so, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So thanks. Please go to slide number 3. So the state of the art in tensorial group field theories is, so there are mainly one set of models that have been recently studied by Rivasso, Benjeloun, and Samari. They are of the simplest type, which I mean is that there is no geometric degrees of freedom in the sense of connections or geometric operators, but they are purely combinatorial models, and they could be proven to be renormalizable. And even asymptotically free, so they could make sense as a fundamental theories in a sense. The question we want to ask in this talk is what happens if we start adding the geometrical ingredients that are so crucial to spin forms, and in particular the notion of discrete connections, so holonomies and the amplitudes. So let me start with the conclusion. The main message of this talk is that indeed it's possible to introduce holonomies in the picture, and it generically improves renormalizability. And also on the way, we need to generalize some key QFC notions, including connectedness, locality, and what it means to contract a graph in a bigger graph. So I will present two main examples. One is a set of U1 super-renormalizable models in four dimensions. So that is already published, on the archive. And the second example is a just renormalizable model of the Bulotov type in three dimensions and with group SU2. So this model may be relevant in 3D gravity, but I don't want to make bold statements. We don't know yet what is the precise relation between this model and the Pantano-Rege model. So please go to slide number 4. So here is the outline of my talk. I will start by presenting the general class of models we are considering so far. Then I will present the main tool that we use in renormalization for these models, which is called the multiscale SP